sure and follow our live blog on Twitter at MMA Lockup.
Welcome back to MMA Lockup. Check out the websites, MMALockup.com, or also Facebook and Twitter at MMA Lockup. Alongside Ennis Barger, Jeremy Hurt, I'm Chris Matthews. Gentlemen, we just talked UFC 145. John Bones Jones took on Rashad Evans. First and foremost, did this fight actually meet the expectations of the fan base, do you think? First off, Jeremy, give me your answer.
Yeah.
Ennis.
Don't ask a yes-no question.
Jeremy smiles smugly.
Yeah, I think it did. I don't know about every fan. If it didn't live up to their expectations, they're probably expecting too much.
I guess I'm in that percentage of fans that I think I was expecting too much. I don't think it was because of the fight, because if you look at the fight, look at the two guys leading up to it, you look at previous Rashad Evans fights to where they were boring, and for example, him and Quentin Rampage Jackson, it wasn't that, but I think that the fights before were just so good. You had a lot of finishes. You had the Mark Hominick fights. You had Brendan Schaub, you know, getting knocked out and reaching for whatever. Then you had Michael Mayne McDonald getting the knockout. It was just an exciting card, and then you get to this event, and you're expecting the climax. And I felt like the climax ended the fight before.
I would make a case that it was the best fight of the night, honestly. I understand where you're coming from. There's something to be said for seeing someone on their back playing an invisible harp. That's a lot of fun. At the same time, there's something to be said for a five-round slugfest between two people who've trained together and were best friend like brothers at one point. Like, that was an epic, epic fight, in my opinion.
It seemed like there was a lot of dancing. I mean, it reminded me of Meet the Fockers. Was it Capoeira, the art of Brazilian dance fighting? I mean, seriously, it was like, doink, and then you saw Rashad dancing, and then doink, you saw, you know, John Bones Jones dancing. Do you think that they were playing it pretty hard to make it more Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier-esque?
No, I think what happened was you had Rashad Evans come into a fight expecting to fight the guy that he used to train against, and then he ran into the 84-inch reach that everyone else in that weight class that's fought John Jones has ran into, and it stymied him. So you saw a lot of feints, you saw a lot of things that were not actually throwing punches, because I don't think he expected that Jones would rock him with anything, and you know, quite to the contrary, he did. I think the other thing you saw out of Jones was you saw him effectively use his range, and you saw him hurt Rashad, but you also saw him realize that Rashad's got the kind of power that if he tags him one time, that fight, no matter how masterful his fight was, one good shot out of Rashad takes his belt away. So you saw him back off a little bit and just dominate the fight in the way that he needed to dominate it. Now, Rashad did catch him with one, if not two, pretty good shots. Jones, you know, obviously he doesn't like to get hit. I mean, there's some guys that do. Most people don't like to get hit, but he was able to just keep his head clear, pedal away, move. And it was really a beautiful tactical fight.
I think you have to say something for the chins of both fighters. This wasn't a bad, like, they couldn't finish the fight because they weren't trying. First of all, Rashad hit Jones twice with what would have knocked out most people in that weight class, I think, which we've seen him do it in the past, so we know like, he's got that kind of power. Twice he caught Jones where I was like, ooh, look out. But on the flip side of that, those elbows that Jones threw into Rashad's face in the corner was the second or third round where he basically just set him up on the fence and got his range and just started bashing the head with elbows. That should have knocked him out, clearly. Yeah. You know? So I think you got to give a little bit to the heart of both of these fighters. If there's a complaint to be made, the fight wasn't finished, I think that complaint, the blame for that goes strictly towards the heart of these two guys, because both of them took major, major shots, and both of them just kept fighting.
The difference, I think, and I agree with you, I do, I think Rashad could easily have knocked Jones out had he caught him. I think it was the length of Jones. I think even when Rashad caught him on the end of that punch rather than mid-punch like he did against a Liddell and some other gentlemen. So I think that helped Jones a bit. He was already moving away from the punch, and you know. But at the end, we didn't see John Jones go for the kill against Rashad like he did against a lot of other opponents when he got him. I mean, if he got him shook, he was on him, and he was there to finish. When he shook Rashad, he kind of backed off and didn't finish the fight. So I think there was a lot of respect for the fact that even a wounded Rashad has got devastating power.
I'll go with that. Rashad Evans, I think his stock actually went up. Of all the scenarios that could have possibly happened that people would have said going into this fight, I don't think any of them covered what actually happened. The guy went five rounds and made him go the distance, which had not happened till this point.
I agree 100% that his stock went up. With me personally, his stock went way up, even though I obviously already thought he was a pretty elite fighter. That being said, I think it's time for him to go to 185. I think he would do really, really well at that class.
Is he a natural 185-er? I mean, the reason why I ask this, I think that a good fight, if he went 185, him and George Rush St. Pierre at the 185, I think that would be a phenomenal fight. It would introduce introduce George St. Pierre to the middleweight division if he ever wanted to do so. And really, it would be a good introduction for Rashad Evans to the middleweight division as well.
If they both wanted to go to 185, I think it would be a bad matchup for St. Pierre to pick him. I think that would be one of those fights that he built up to, because with St. Pierre, he's a good sized guy. It's not like he would have to put on a tremendous amount of muscle to fight at 185, but Rashad's just a handful.
He is, he's a big 5'10 maybe, and George St. Pierre's 5'10. The size difference wouldn't be that much.
There's more than just the size difference on the night of the fight, you know? First of all, I think 185 is where he belongs, and he would be a big 185. George isn't necessarily all that big at 170. It's not just how big they are on the night of the fight. George St. Pierre's entire career has been against 170-pound guys. Rashad Evans wrestled in college against people his size, and then he came into the Ultimate Fighter as a heavyweight, and then he became a champion at light heavyweight. It's a big difference because Rashad knows how to deal with people the size of Ben Rothwell, you know? Like, he's been in there with, who was it he fought? Brad Imes.
Right.
Brad Imes ain't no little guy. So it's not just the night of the fight they're both the same weight, which I don't think they would be. If those two guys fought at a catch weight of 185, they would not be the same night on the fight. George would pretty much have to bulk up to be a legit 185. And when I say that, on the frame he has right now with the athleticism he has, he's pretty much got about as much muscle on that frame as you want for what he does and the way he fights. So for him to come up to 185, he's not going to put on much. And Rashad's basically going to figure out exactly what's the most weight he can carry around and still make 185. I think the size would be a big thing. I think the experience against size would be a big thing. I'm with Ennis. I think that's a horrible matchup for GSP.
Looking at the middleweight division, though, I don't think you put a GSP up against the Anderson Silva, which is a fight that a lot of people have spoken about. I think it'd be a much better matchup for George Rush St. Pierre to go against the Rashad Evans. Rashad Evans, you know, if he enters the middleweight division, who do they put him up against? Possibly Chael Sonnen. I get that. But that's if Chael Sonnen does, in fact, lose to Anderson Silva, you know, get someone like that. Point being, he's got to get out of that light heavyweight division. He didn't have anything for John Jones that was truly a threat. Yeah, he stunned him a bit, which is an accomplishment. Lyoto Machida was able to do that in the first round and then put to sleep in the second round. And he was able to hang with him the whole time. But, you know, there's really, it's to that point to where he can't really accomplish much anymore. He's got to go down to the middleweight division, that being Rashad Evans. I don't think he matches up well to get that title either, though. Him and Anderson Silva, I think Anderson, you know, takes him to school.
Yeah, no, he does.
Yeah, and because Anderson's fought light heavyweights and dominated light heavyweights. So, I mean, yeah. I don't think there's any intimidation factor there.
Anderson and John Jones, they're 1-2, 1A, 1A, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're both kind of... But the same thing is, do you want to keep laboring in a 205 that you're almost certainly never going to be able to break through? Like, I don't think he beats Anderson, but I think his chances of beating Anderson are better than they are beating Jones, honestly.
Just from a length standpoint, I would agree with that.
Yeah. What's in news, John Jones actually has an opponent named, and that is who?
Danny Anderson.
This guy's going to beat John Jones. I think.
Really?
I truly think so. Yeah, I mean, you look at the fight that he fought against Lyoto Machida. You look at the fight he fought against Rashad Evans. I guarantee you the Henderson camp seen weaknesses there that they can expose. Dan Henderson will not be knocked out by John Jones. He hadn't been knocked out his whole career. And, you know, he's not going to be intimidated by Bones. He is not. He is crazy enough and just not all there enough to where he hadn't seen anything. I mean, he fought the last Emperor, knocked him out. All right. John Jones, I mean, yes, he has the reach, but if he can't really, I mean, if he doesn't get Dan Henderson to the ground, which he's not going to do, and he can't knock him out, which he's not going to do, what does he do? He's not going to beat him on the points. I can see Dan Henderson taking him down.
No. Disagree entirely. Dan is a world-class Greco wrestler. He's very strong. He's got as much one-punch knockout power as anybody maybe in the entire sport, him and Shane Carwin. And then you're right. He's not scared of John Jones in the slightest. Like, Dan Henderson's not afraid of anybody, but I was taught growing up that you don't have to be afraid to get your ass whipped, you know? You don't have to be scared to get your ass whipped. It can happen when you're perfectly confident. I think Jones is too long. I think he's too long. I think he's too strong. I think even as good as Hendo's Greco is, I think if he gets within distance, tries to close distance too much, he's going to get grabbed and thrown like a ragdoll, like everybody else that Jones has walked in their cage with.
In other news, UFC 146, there is an opponent named for Junior Dos Santos, the heavyweight champion. It was Alistair Overeem before he failed his drug test. Guys, Frank Mir has been named the opponent. I was expecting possibly it could be Frank Mir, hoping it would have been someone else. What can people expect from this fight? Says Frank Mir bit off a little bit more than he can chew.
Yes. In my opinion, yes. I think, as we all know, Frank Mir has one of the most dynamic guards in the history of that class. class. He's really active. In all of MMA, really, there's not very many guys off of their back that attack as often and as efficiently as Frank Mir does. I kind of expect, though, one thing we've seen since his second Brock fight, he's proud of how big he is now. He wants to stand and bang with everybody because he feels like, I'm this big muscle man, I got my boxing, I'll knock you out on the feet. I think he might try that against JDS, and I think we all know how that would probably end.
We actually had Junior Dos Santos on the show. We asked him about Frank Mir right after he defeated Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. Here's some excerpts from that interview.
How does it feel to take the torch from your mentor, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, as the top Brazilian heavyweight on the planet?
For me, it's just a pleasure, you know, to make part of the same team of the Nogueira. He's a legend, and he motivated me a lot. Now, I have his support on my career, too. So I'm happy with that, you know, and I know he had bad times fighting, but I know he's going to come back stronger.
Big Nog was defeated by Frank Mir and sustained a broken arm. Frank Mir has his sights set on your title. How good would it feel to return the favor?
Yeah, that fight against, that second fight against Minotauro, Big Nog, was a very hard fight, you know, for not just for us, the people of the same team of Big Nog, but for everybody. He got the arm broke it, so that was frustrated. And Frank Mir is tough fighter, but I don't care about my opponents, and I never choose any opponent, and if he got the chance to fight for the title, it's going to be a pleasure to fight against him.
Who does Junior Dos Santos think is the top heavyweight contender?
Well, I think the heavyweight division is very good right now. You know, we have very good fighters, dangerous fighters, you know. For sure, one of the biggest challenges for me still is Cain Velasquez. His way to fight is very different and for a heavyweight, and I think he's one of the big challenges yet.
Good stuff from the champion himself. In other action, Ennis, other fights, what's going on in the world of Bellator?
Well, if you're not watching Bellator, you're missing out on a lot of great action. I can't even sum up everything that's going on, but we've got some great fights going on in the tournament. We've got three different weight classes rolling in the tournament. All the brackets are lining up nicely. I'll give you a little foreshadowing. We're going to have some special stuff coming out with Daniel Strauss. He's actually fighting for the second bantamweight tournament belt in a row. He's an exciting fighter. There's a lot of great Brazilians in Bellator. If you're not watching it, you're missing out because it's free. It's on MTV2, or you can watch it live. It's free on MTV2, or you can watch it live on Spike. Spike.com, actually. They're only showing it live, though. You can't go back and watch that. But one of the guys that we've had on the show before, and he's of keen interest to the show, you know, we had him, you know, many people had him in the top 10 pound for pound in his weight class. Eddie Alvarez comes back. They line him up against Shinya Aoki as a rematch against one of his early losses over in Japan. And, you know, a lot of people thought Aoki had a shot to submit him again. The guy's kind of a wizard on his back. In the end, Alvarez, you know, avenged his loss. And did it in pretty devastating fashion.
Folks, we get back. It's that time again. It's Knockout Bad Decision and also Amy Miller's Fight Stat of the Week. Make sure you check out the website, MMALockup.com, or also Facebook and Twitter at MMALockup.
There are three kinds of people when it comes to math. Those who are good at it and those that aren't. You figure out what you are. We'll be back in a moment.